I want to invite you to open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 15. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one in the pew in front of you. And if you don't have a Bible at home and you would like one, please let us know and we would be happy to give you a Bible to be yours, to take home, to study and read every day. Romans chapter 15. We're learning sacred motives, 10 reasons to wake up every day and live for the Lord. And tonight we're going to be coming to reason number 4, which is the Word of God. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. If you find your place there, I would invite you to stand with me to honor the Word of God tonight. Romans 15 and verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the things that were written aforetime, the things that you've given us in your Holy Bible that will help us to know you, that will help us to grow closer to you, that will help us to have a real and living relationship with you, that we can know you, that we can have hope in Christ. Thank you for your word. Please just convict our hearts about our failure to study it as we should. And Lord, just help us to love your word and to study it every day and to live by it, by your grace. Please bless as we look into your word tonight, and may it change our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. And please be seated. We've come to reason number 4. And just to give you a quick review, the first reason that we talked about was number 1, to glorify God. I don't want to wake up every day to glorify God. It's why we exist. For His pleasure we are and we're created. We're here for Him, for His honor and glory. And that ought to be our number 1 motive every day. Number 2, we learned that a lost world ought to motivate us to live for God. People who profess Christ but don't live for Christ can't be an effective witness to a lost world. We've got to live it and we've got to speak it. It's got to be by word and by deed if we're going to reach this lost world. And the fact that the multitudes are out there on their way to a devil's hell ought to motivate us to live for God every day. Last week we learned about our acceptance in Christ. We are accepted in the Beloved. And we sometimes seek affirmation or acceptance. We do a lot of things in church to try to be accepted to other people. But the fact of the matter is, friends, we are already accepted in Christ. Listen, this is important. Outside of Christ, you are not acceptable to God. Outside of Christ, you are, in fact, an enemy of God. But in Christ, you're accepted. And there's nothing that you can do in your life to make God love you any more than He loves you right now. And there's nothing you can do in your life to make Him love you any less than He loves you right now. We don't serve Him to be accepted by Him. We serve Him because we are accepted by Him. And so that's a great motive. And tonight, the Word of God ought to motivate us. Now, most of the people in America, in case you didn't know, this Bible is still the number 1 best-selling book of all time. More Bibles have been sold, printed, and given away around the world than any other book. And that ought to thrill your heart. Amen. This is not just some book. This is the living Word of God. People want to criticize the Bible. They say, well, it's just written by men. Well, that's true. God used men to write it, but God is ultimately author of it. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Spirit of God moved those men to write down exactly what God wanted to. And He has given us His word. He has preserved His word. And by the way, the attack that says men did it, that's just another great proof. Yeah, men did it. There was over 40 men used over a period of 1,600 years. These men came from every walk of life. I'm talking about shepherds and kings. I'm talking about fishermen and physicians. And God used those men to write down this book, and it is without contradiction, and it is without error. Amen. Come on, people, get excited. Amen. This is the living Word of God. I mean, it is infallible, it's inspired, it's inerrant. It is a wonderful book, the living Word of God. And we have them, don't we? I said, if you don't have a Bible, let me know and we'll get you one. But how many of you have a Bible in your possession? You have one at home? You have one somewhere? Almost every hand goes up. If you don't, let me know. We'll give you a Bible right now tonight before you leave. We have Bibles, but how many times are our Bibles left on the shelf unused? I want to go ahead and tell you that a lot of times people's Bibles are just something that sits on the nightstand or on the coffee table or wherever it goes when you get home. A lot of people, their Bible, it goes right there in that place when you walk in the door, and it stays right there until it's time to go back to church again. You think that's true? Yeah. In a lot of cases, that's the truth. Or some of you just leave it here on the pew so you don't even have to worry about keeping up with it. Just leave it sitting there. It'll be there when you come back next time. Now, if you got a couple of Bibles and you do that to make sure you got one here because you don't want to not have your Bible at church, right? Amen. If you got a Bible, you want to bring it to church. Maybe you got a few of them and you leave one here and you got another one by your nightstand and you got another one by your easy chair and you got a lot of us got lots of Bibles. Amen. I mean, I've got Bibles everywhere I go. And I've got a Bible. I've got a couple of Bible apps on my phone right here in my pocket. I mean, I can't get away from the Word. It's everywhere I go. Amen. God's Word is readily available to us today. But here's the problem with that. Because it's so available, it's not precious to us. Listen, this is the living Word of God. It's not just some other book. This is God's Word. Amen. And it ought to be precious to us. Amen. And even if you got 17 Bibles in your possession, each one of them is precious. Amen. And valuable. But it will not do you any good if you don't study it. We ought to love the Word of God. Paul Chappell said this: it is a living book, life-changing book. Amen. It is a book that will discern your heart and transform your thinking every time you open it. Amen. It is a book that will make good on every one of its promises. Amen. It will never fail and never be found insufficient. This is the all-sufficient rule of faith and practice. Everything that we believe, everything that we do, comes from this book. And if we believe it and it doesn't come from this book, it ain't worth believing. And if we do it and it doesn't come from this book, it's not worth doing. We need to understand how valuable our Bibles is. Our Bibles are. Can you imagine for just a minute what it'd be like, what your life would be like if you never had a Bible? Just no Bible. Never had one, never heard one, never heard one preached, never heard one taught, never heard John 3:16 in your whole life, never knew any Bible verse from the Word of God. You never heard it at all. If I imagine a life like that, I just imagine pure darkness. Amen. What would you know about God if you didn't have a Bible? What would you know about life after death if you didn't have a Bible? What would you know about sin and how to get forgiveness of sin if you didn't have a Bible? What would you know of heaven or hell or life everlasting if you didn't have a Bible? What would you know about the love of God through His Son Jesus Christ if you didn't have a Bible? But just imagine for a moment your life without it, and you start to get just a taste of how precious it is to have it. We ought to love this book. I think the Bible ought to be the first thing you read every day when you get up. I think you ought to live by the mantra, no Bible, no breakfast. No Bible, no breakfast. Some of you are like, well, I don't eat breakfast anyway. All right, how about this? No read, no feed. Stole that one from Dustin. Listen, if you don't get in the Word of God, if you don't get some of the spiritual food, then why would you partake of physical food? This is far more important. This is more important than you getting your Wheaties or Cheerios, Cinnamon Toast Crunch. It's got the swirls. Yeah, it does. Is that what it is, Cinnamon Toast Crunch? I know I get something, Pop-Tarts or I think it's Cinnamon Toasties at our house. The big bag. Amen? Yeah. And everything has marshmallows in it now. It's more important. It's more vital. We need to get to a place that we can say the Bible is my book. The Bible is my book. It's interesting to me that sometimes people, we tend to judge one another by ourselves. We compare ourselves with one another. By the way, that's not wise. When you compare yourselves among yourselves. And sometimes we look at other people and we see how they are, and we think, well, they're really religious, they're really spiritual, they're really in the Bible, they know a lot of Bible verses, and we look at other people and we think that's kind of their thing. I want you to know something. If you are saved, the Bible ought to be your thing. Amen. See, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:15, by the way, I'm going to give you a lot of Bible verses tonight. I don't know if you have anything to take notes on, but I hope you do and you can write down some of these verses. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What is he says thyself. Listen, I can't stand on somebody else's studying. I can't stand on somebody else's time in the word of God. It's me. I've got to stand on my time in the Word of God. I've got to stand on how I've studied the Word of God, how I have learned to be a workman for the Lord, how I have rightly divided the Word of truth. I've got to study for myself because I'm going to stand before the Lord in judgment. Amen. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Have you ever been caught ashamed because you didn't know your Bible very well? Man. I want to tell you, it's not very fun, and it happens to me this day. Some of you aren't going to believe this, but would you believe I've been preaching for 20 years? It's hard to believe, isn't it? Well, you'd think it'd be better than that after that long. 20 years. It'll be, yeah, how old am I? I think it was 20 years last December. 20 years I've been preaching. I've been studying the Bible. I went to seminary. I had great instructors like the illustrious Bill Conley. Amen. Amen. And you would think I would know something. But I get tripped up all the time. And what I'm trying to tell you is, we if we're not in the book, we're going to get tripped up even more. Amen. We've got to be in the book. 1 Timothy 4:13 says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. And we need to give ourselves attendance. We need to give time to read and study the Word of God. You ought to make it a priority. You ought to make it part of your daily routine. Most of you have a daily routine, don't you? Amen. I don't need to hear the details, but when you get up in the morning, there's certain things that you do every day. Amen. I mean, it's just you when you roll yourself out of bed, there's certain things you drag your carcass around to do in the morning. Amen. And somewhere in that routine ought to be a time where you sit down and open up your Bible and read it. Amen. There ought to be a time when you sit down with your Bible in a notebook and you study it out. There ought to be a time when it's just a part of our life. We get an attendance to the Word of God, that we're looking into it, we're studying it, and we're trying to understand it. By the way, I can already hear some of the protests. Well, I try to read my Bible, I just don't understand it. There's two things I want to tell you about not understanding the Word of God. Number one, you need to make sure you're saved. The things of the Word of God, the Bible declares plainly, they are spiritually discerned. And if you have never repented of your sins and trusted Christ as your Savior, there's going to be some things you're not going to be able to understand. When you are born again, the Spirit of God lives inside of you, and He will help you to understand His Word. And after you're saved, there's going to be things you study you still don't understand, and that's why we have to study. He didn't just say read it, He says study it. And so you study this passage, you say that doesn't make any sense. So you get back there and you start looking at other scriptures that talk about that and deal about that, and you compare scripture with scripture. By the way, the Bible's the best commentary on the Bible. You want to know what this Bible verse means? And go somewhere else and see where it talks about the same thing and see what it says there. And so many times it'll become clear. But get a notebook and write those things down. And if you're studying something you don't understand, write down the question and bring it to your Sunday school teacher. Come and ask me. And when I can't answer you, I'll send you to Brother Bill. And if he can't answer you, he'll send you to Janus. But there are men and women in this church who have studied the Bible, who understand things, and they can help you. But don't just use that as an excuse not to study. That's ridiculous. You think you're going to understand it better by not studying it? What sense does that make? I don't understand it, so I don't study it. Well, you're not going to understand it if you don't study it. I want to tell you tonight, not only should we get to the point where the Bible, we can say the Bible is my book. It's the Bible is where I get my life. It's where I get my knowledge. It's where I get truth. Amen. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. You know what that patience is? It's endurance. That you stick with it. You don't just study it for a little while and then put it up, but you continue to study and continue to study and continue to study, and you grow, and it gives you hope. But God's Word, we need to understand, changes us. God's Word changes us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 2, 13 says this, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." So he said, listen, when we came and we were preaching, you didn't say that word we were preaching was the word of men. You understood it was the word of God. And you received it, and it effectually works in your life. Just like when you get saved, it changes you. The word of God changes you, right? Amen. We're made new creatures in Christ through the gospel, which is the word of God. But it doesn't stop there. It continues to work in our lives. It continues to change us. God's Word does the work of renewing our minds. God's Word does the work of putting off the old man and putting on the new man. Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth," God says. "It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it." And God's Word changes lives. I want to give you some things. Just let me run down some scriptures with you, and let's look at the powerful and positive effects of the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. If you're taking notes, write these down. And if you're like me and have trouble finding places booked in the Bible sometimes, there's a place up front, like a table of contents, and you can look up where that book is in the Bible. It'll tell you what page number it's on. And I still have to do that every time somebody preaches from Habakkuk. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." I want you to notice this word. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means that it's God-breathed. The whole Bible was breathed out by God. It's Holy Spirit given. And I want you to notice this. The whole thing was given by God, and the whole thing is profitable. People spend their whole lives looking for something profitable. They want a job that's profitable. They want to do things that are profitable. I want to tell you what's profitable in your life: the Word of God. Amen. I hear there's churches out there today that they, and I've heard some of these guys, they say, "Well, our church really isn't into doctrine." I'm going to tell you something. If your church isn't into doctrine, you must not be into the Bible. Amen. The Bible is profitable. Scripture is profitable for doctrine. Doctrine just means teaching. And what we're interested in is what God has to teach. Remember the first, our text verse, it said that these things were given for our learning, so that we can know God, so that we can have a relationship with God, so we can be close to Him, so that we can know Him and make Him known. And so it's profitable for doctrine. That tells us what's right. It gets profitable for reproof. That tells us what's not right. And you look in this book, and the reason a lot of people don't like to look in the book is because it shows us what's not right in our lives. A lot of people don't want to know that. They don't want to know that the things that they're doing and the way that they're acting is wrong. But God's Word will show you what's not right, but He doesn't just leave you out there hanging. He tells us It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. Amen. God's word tells us how to get right. Amen. God shows you where you're wrong, and he shows you how to get right. Amen. And then God's word is profitable for instruction in righteousness. He tells you how to stay right. What's right? What's not right? How to get right and how to stay right? It's all right here in the Word of God. Amen. It's profitable. Look at Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Hebrews 4, 12. For the word of God is quick. Now that doesn't mean it's fast. The word means it's alive. Okay? The word of God is quick. It's alive. It is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God's word is not only profitable, but God's word will break you down. It gets down to the very core of exactly who we are. I mean, what makes us up, what makes us who we are, how we work, it gets down. It discerns us. It knows us. It pierces us. God's word is powerful. And let me give you this little side note for those of you that like to try to share the gospel. Sometimes you come up against somebody and they don't want to hear it, and they don't want to talk and they don't seem interested. Let me just encourage you. Give them the word of God anyway. Even if they say they don't believe in God, give them the Bible verses. You know why? Because God's word is quick and powerful. It's alive. It's powerful. And they may say, I don't believe in God. But God's word will still penetrate their heart. God's word works in people's lives. Brother Rick used to tell a story about a man, and I can't remember who tried to share the gospel with this man, but it may have been Brother Rick himself. I haven't heard it in a while, but he said, he just left him with this verse. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. The man didn't want to talk. He didn't want to hear it. Didn't want to hear any of it. But he gave him that Bible verse, and it wasn't a day or two later that man came back and said, that verse is killing me. I can't get it out of my head. Amen. I keep thinking about the fact I'm going to die and face the judgment. Amen. Now, anybody could say anything like that, but why did that get that man's heart? Because it's the Word of God. Amen. And the Holy Spirit of God will take that and just drive it right down into the core of your soul. Amen. God's Word discerns us. It shows us exactly who we are. It breaks us apart. It pierces us down to the very essence of who we are. The soul and the spirit, right down to who we are. And God's word is so powerful. And if you, I don't know, friends, if you've never had God's word pierce your heart, you haven't heard it. Right. Amen. I mean, you'd have to be awfully hard-hearted to never have the word of God pierce your heart. And when it pierces us, when it discerns us, we need to respond to it in obedience. We read a moment ago 1 Thessalonians 2:13. I want to remind you very quickly that God's word effectually works. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, he says, when you receive the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. God's word works. It affects change in our lives. We also read to begin our text, Romans 15:4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. The word of God is what gives us hope. And by the way, can I remind you that the biblical hope is not the hope of the world? Some folks down here at the casino by the interstate, and they got a lot of hope when they walk into that place. And they walk out without any hope. And bless them. Bless the poor ones that come out thinking they really did good. I got family, I got friends that have been duped by that nonsense. So excited. Tell me about how much they won. I said, well, how much did you lose to win that much? Let me help you out in case you're tempted by the casino and gambling. It's built, by the way, biblically, it's built on covetousness. It's built on the love of money, which is the root of all evil. Okay? Let me just get that out there for you. And if you've been around here for very long at all, you have personally seen lives destroyed by gambling. Is that the truth? Am I speaking the truth right now? Have you seen lives destroyed by gambling? Because I have. I've seen marriages torn apart. I've seen kids go hungry. I've seen lives destroyed because of gambling. Let me tell you a little secret. They didn't build that big building down there with their money. They built that building down there with the people's money who go in there. People's grocery money and their kids' shoe money. That's where they built that building with. And make no mistake about it. Listen, that's not the kind of hope the Bible gives. These people are going down there pushing a button or pulling a lever or doing whatever they're doing, hoping. That's not Bible hope. Let me help you out with something good. Biblical hope is an earnest expectation. It is a waiting for the promises of God. Now, the promises of God are sure. The world's hope is, man, I hope maybe, gee whiz, you know, maybe Publishers Clearing House will come this month. That's the world's hope. Amen. But God's hope is God said, and we can look for it to happen. Right. And we know it's going to happen. Amen. That's the hope that the Bible gives. Amen. I'm stepping on, some of y'all have been waiting on that Publishers Clearing House, haven't you? I'm not preaching against, I don't know. I know this, that's not Bible hope. Amen. My granny hoped till the day she died, and they never showed up with that giant check. Never rung her doorbell. But the promises of God, they're sure. And that's what Bible hope is. It's earnest expectation. It is an expectation of the fulfillment of the promises of God. And let me tell you something. Let me just testify for a second. Have you ever in your life, in your Christian life, kind of lost your assurance? You ever in your life kind of lost your hope? Anybody? You know what happened? I got out of the Bible. You get out of this word and you lose your hope. It's our source of hope. You get away from this book and you start filling your mind with the things of the world, you're not going to have any hope. You have no hope for today. You have no hope for tomorrow. But it's an amazing thing. Your situation, your outside influences don't change at all, but you get in the Bible and all of a sudden you see things differently. Amen. All of a sudden there's hope for today and hope for tomorrow. What happened? I just got back in the Bible. I got back in the book. Amen. And it gave me hope. Amen. Stay in the book if you want to have hope. Amen. All right, let's look in our Old Testament for just a little bit. Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Psalm 19, verses 7 and 8. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. That's pretty good stuff, isn't it? What's he say? He says the word of God converts. It makes wise. It rejoices the heart. It enlightens the eyes. And when you look into the word of God, it's perfect. It's complete. And it will convert you. It'll make your soul from what it used to be, and it'll make it something completely new. And only the word of God can do that. Only the word of God can convert us to change us from one thing into something completely different. The testimony of the Lord is sure, and it makes wise the simple. And God can take simple-minded people like me, and he can give us wisdom, and he does that through his word. The statutes of the Lord are right. They rejoice the heart. Man, have you ever just gotten your Bible and opened it up and read a passage, and it just filled your heart with joy? Man, it's an awesome thing. You look in that book, it'll fill you with joy. It'll rejoice your heart. And then he said, it's pure. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Listen, Satan is in the business of blinding the eyes of people. But God's word takes the blinders off. He gives us light. He shows us truth. And he does it through his word. Now, I want to pause for just a second while you're finding Psalm 119. By the way, if you want to know something about God's word, study Psalm 119. It's all about the word. Amen? There's a brand of Christianity in America today that is all experiential and not biblical. There are throngs of people in churches across the world today, especially in America, who for church for them is to go have an emotional experience and to not get any Bible and to go about their business. And their lives go unchanged week after week, month after month, year after year. Do you know why? Because emotional experiences don't change us. The Word of God changes us. Now, don't misunderstand me. I am all about God's people worshiping the Lord. The problem is we don't know what worship is today. You look in your Bible and you see somebody worshiped. Then you look at what we call Christianity today and what they call worship, and they're completely different. Today, worship is a lot like a concert. People jumping up and down, acting crazy. In the Bible, you know what worship was? Every time I read my Bible, it says they worshiped. It had to do with them falling on their face before God. Amen. That's what worship was. It wasn't some experience. It was them being broken because of their sin and the sin of their people. And them being in fear of God because of his holiness. That's what worship is. And I want to tell you, friends, but how do I know that? Because I read the Bible. But people are going through these experiences and having their own idea of what this is all about. And I get frustrated. Sometimes I hate Facebook. How many of you guys are on Facebook? Can I just see your hands? I'm going to pray for you. Hold on. Let me see your hands. Listen, Facebook is good sometimes. I like to post verses on there. I like to make announcements for the church. I see prayer requests and pray for people. Brother Teddy was in the hospital having a heart cath. I wouldn't even known it if it wasn't for Facebook. And he was mad about it that it was on Facebook. You know, there's some good, but there's a lot of nonsense too. But I see these people getting into these spiritual debates, biblical Christian people having these debates and these heated arguments about stuff. And I think this and I think that. And I'm like, why don't you just get your stinking Bible out? Amen. And let God settle this. Amen. It's over here my opinion and all this stuff. And let me go ahead and just throw this out there while I'm preaching. The Bible says what the Bible says. Amen. Now, I know some of you have heard this before. Well, the Bible says, well, what that means to me is this. And it can mean this to me, and it means something else to you. Now listen, for the Bible says what the Bible says. God said what he said, and he meant what he said. And it's up to us to understand that. Now, I get it. There's some verses that may speak to your situation, and God's going to use that and whatever you're going through. But I'm just telling you that that truth is not relative. There's not one meaning for you and one meaning for somebody else. God's word is truth. And truth is not relative. It's truth. And it's unchanging. And if it changed, then it wouldn't be truth. Sorry, Facebook, it just gets me kind of riled up. I don't know. Psalm 119, is that where we're at? Let me give you just a few little snapshots from Psalm 119, and it would do well for all of us to go back and study the whole thing. But Psalm 119, verse 9, he says, wherewith all shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Your life's a mess. It's dirty. It's filthy. You got sin. Your way, your lifestyle is not right. What do? How do you clean your life up? By taking heed to the word of God. That's how you clean your life up. Turn over a new leaf. Make a commitment. Go to this class or that class. Maybe all that's good, but only God's word will cleanse your life. Psalm 119, 105. 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You guys know that one, right? Thy word is a lamp unto... You guys remember the song? I'll spare you then. Okay. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Hey, we live in a dark, sin-cursed world, but God's word will give us light. It'll guide us. It shines on the path of our feet, shows us where the danger is, shows us where to walk. We can't walk circumspectly in this world unless we walk with the leadership, the guidance of the word of God. Psalm 119, verse 130. 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. It gives understanding. And then look at verse 165. This is a good one. You get a hold of this. Great peace have they which love thy law. Have you ever wished you had more peace in your life? More peace in your home? More peace at your job? More peace. You know where it comes from? It comes from loving the Word of God. Now look at this. Nothing shall offend them. This being offended, it has to do with being shaken. It has to do with getting messed up, with getting off your path. And it could be like we think of it, offended, like somebody hurts your feelings, somebody rubs you the wrong way, whatever. Anybody in here ever been offended? Amen. Every time you come to church, right? See, if we love God's word, He gives us peace. And nothing that comes into our life can offend us because we love the word of God. That's the power of the word of God. I'm not worried about all that. They said something, they did something, it's not going to mess me up. Our country's a mess. Did anybody watch the debacle last night? I mean, the debate? Yeah? Listen, our country's a mess. Let's not make any bones about it. We're a mess. But that doesn't have to offend us. That doesn't have to mess us up. That doesn't have to shake us if we love the Word of God. Amen. We can be steady and firm. Stand fast on His Word. All right, let me give you one more verse. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Y'all don't get through listening before I get through preaching, okay? That happens sometimes. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. If you're marking them down, writing them down, highlighting, underlining in your Bible, whatever, this is a good one. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Let's start at the end and work our way back. How many of you would like to have a prosperous way? I mean, the way of your life, your lifestyle, the way things go. You want it to be good. And it's not just talking about monetarily, like, man, you'll be rich. But it'll just be good. It'll prosper. The things that you find to do with your hand, God will bless it. How many of you guys want that? Amen. And I do. I mean, is anybody thinking, no, I want to be non-prosperous. I want things to go terrible when I try them. No, we want to be. And then he says, you'll have good success. How many of you want to be successful? Amen. And that, again, this is not talking about big house, fancy cars, lots of money in the bank. No, no, no. It's just talking about success in God's ways. And maybe he'll bless you with that stuff. Maybe he won't. But your life will be successful. Amen. And we want that, don't we? Amen. Again, nobody's going, no, really, I want to be a failure. No, we don't. No, we want to have success. Okay, well, if that's where you want to get to, then you got to start back at the beginning. If you want to end up there, you better start with the law of God always being in your mouth. Amen. Well, what in the world does that mean? You know how stuff gets in your mouth? This is weird. It comes from your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You want to know what I think Joshua was telling him? Joshua was the leader of God's people. He wanted him to know the Word of God, to teach the Word of God, proclaim the Word of God. When he got up in the morning, when he went down at night, when he walked by the way, everywhere he was, he wanted him preaching and teaching and speaking the Word of God. Now, have you ever been around somebody like that? I mean, when they talk, the Bible just falls out of their mouth. When they pray, the Bible just flows out of their mouth. Have you been around anybody like that? I've been around just a couple of people like that. I mean, and it's not some just showy thing. It's just flows from them naturally because it's so much in their heart. They've just filled their life up with the Word of God. So if you're going to have it in your mouth, you've got to have it in your heart. How do you get it in your heart? Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. What's it mean to meditate? It's the word ruminate. This is a beautiful picture. Not really. You know what ruminate means? It means it's like chewing the cud. You know about the cows, right? I told you before. They got four stomachs. They take a bite of grass, they chew it up for a while, they swallow it, goes in one stomach, then it comes right back up. And they chew on it again, and it goes down into the next stomach, and then it comes up. It's a beautiful picture, isn't it? I mean, maybe that's gross to some of you, and I know, but that's exactly what God says to do with His Word. Meditate on it, ruminate on it. He wants you to read it, and He wants you to think about it, mull on it, chew on it, think about it, and then just let it sit for a while, and He wants you to bring it right back up and chew on it some more, think about it some more, mull over it some more. And you think about that verse, and you go, oh, man, that makes me think about what happened over here. And you meditate on it. You know what happens when you got it rolling around in your mind all day? It'll sink right down into your heart. And when it gets in your heart, it'll be in your mouth. And you know what God told Joshua? If it won't depart out of your mouth, it's always in your mouth because you meditate on it day and night. By the way, that's all the time. We like to divide our days up different than God did, but God just did it in two. Day, night. That's it, right? The morning and the evening was the first day. He's been doing it from the beginning. There's day and there's night. So all the time, meditate on the Word of God. Why? That thou mayest, I love this. Do you see, observe? Do you remember that from the Great Commission? Do you remember that from the Great Commission? Jesus didn't just say, teach them all things whatsoever I command you. He said, teach them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. See, God doesn't want us to just know the Word of God and say the Word of God. He wants us to do the Word of God. So we have it in our mouth because it's in our heart, because we meditate on it, so that we can observe to do according to some that is written therein. What? It doesn't say some? See, if we want to get real tonight, there's some of us been in church our whole lives. We're still just trying to do some of what the Bible says. If we're honest, we still just want to do some of it. I want to study a little. I want to pray a little. I want to do a little. But you know, God has never asked for some. Now, you can correct me. You can come back and straighten me out next week if I'm wrong. But it seems to me every time I look at my Bible and God calls men and women, He calls them to give all. Amen. To love Him with all our heart, all our soul, all our strength. He doesn't want you to deserve to do some of the Bible. He wants us to learn to observe to do all. Amen. And you say, preacher, that sounds real good, but that's impossible for me. And I'll just get in line right with you and say, I'm with you. That's impossible for me too. But God never called us to do all by our own strength. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. By God's strength, by Jesus Christ, I can observe to do all that's written therein. I can't do it on my own. I've got to do it in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. But He would not call us to do that if we couldn't live up to it by His strength. So He brings us to a place where we go, I can't do that. There's no way. And we have to depend on Him, and that's exactly where He wants to get us. Tonight, we're going to get ready for an invitation. Would you stand with me while they're coming? And we're going to sing a verse of invitation because we want to give you a chance to respond to the Word of God. This invitation is a time for when God spoke to your heart about His Word and about what it does in our lives, and He convicts you, and He's shown you some things in your life that aren't right, that you would respond to it, that we would respond by doing what God's called us to do. If He's convicting you tonight, you need to come get anything right. You need to come and repent, rededicate your life, make a decision for Jesus, whatever it is. Come right now while we sing.